Now, I'd like to focus in detail on the qualities of the Ansar radiallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them in glowing words in the noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them in the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah speaks about the Ansar. They are those who are abiding in this abode and faith in before them, meaning that the Ansar are those who establish themselves in the homeland of Medina and in faith before the former ones arrived in Medina. Tabawwa means to make a dwelling and abode. So the word dar refers to Medina, which has a special distinction. Imam Malik rahimahumullah, from one point of view, regarded Medina Tayyibah as the most distinguished of all cities of the world, and used to say that wherever Islam reached, in any city that was conquered, it was conquered by the means of jihad, including Makkatul Mukarramah. Medina Tayyibah is the only exception. It was conquered by means of, subhanallah, by means of Iman. It was conquered by means of Iman. In the verse, under Tabawwa, to settle in the abode, and the words Dar and Iman are coupled. It could be objected that a home can be found in a place where a person might settle in, but faith is not an abode where a person might find a place to settle in. So some of the scholars take the position that this is the context of the verb tamakkanu akhlasu, to be understood. So these are the people who settled in their abode and became sincere and strong in their faith. They became strong and sincere in their faith. So that the first point was that they were strong and sincere in their faith. And the next one, yuhibbuna man hajara ilayhim. They love those who made hijrah to them. The muhajireen came from Makkah. They came to the Ansar, the helpers, deprived and denuded of all their possessions. And normally, communities find this very difficult. No community is willing to allow such a large number of distressed people to settle in a city. Instead, quarrels between natives and immigrants are found everywhere. But the Ansar received them with open arms and made them equal partners in their belongings. The bond of love and brotherhood which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established between the Muhajirin and Ansar, to which this very verse speaks about in a very eloquent manner. And this stands unrivaled in the annals of history. There was no similar example. In fact, for each Muhajir, there was several applications to take him in. Can you imagine that? There were many instances in which lots had to be cast, that when the lot of a particular Ansari fell in the favor, that, you know, he's my companion, I will give him my wealth. So that was the amazing part of this. The third characteristics of the Ansar, as described, is وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They did not feel in their hearts any need for what is given to the Muhajireen. And this statement is concerned with the banishment of the Banu Nazir and their orchard and homes falling to the Muslims' hand. Now, we spoke about this early in the week, about the booty and the wealth that came into the hands of the Muslimin. It was the time when the Muhajireen had come and they had neither home nor any property. They lived in the homes of the Ansar and worked on their farms and earned their livelihood. When the wealth of Banu Nazir and Banu Qaynuqa were obtained as faith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called the leaders of the Ansar. Can you recall who was one of the leaders? Any one of them? One is Thabit bin Qais bin Shummas radiallahu anhum. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him up and asked him to bring his people and asked, O Nabi of Allah, should I call my tribe of the Ansar, the Banu Khazraj, or all tribes of the Ansar? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, all of them. And they all gathered. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delivered a sermon in which he spoke highly of the Ansar as to the manner in which they accommodated the Muhajireen. He then said it was a matter of great determination and courage. And after that he said, Allah has granted you the wealth of the Banu Nadir. If you wish, I will divide the wealth between the Muhajirin and Ansar, and the Muhajirin will remain as usual in the homes of the Ansar. Or if you wish, the wealth may be distributed amongst the homeless Muhajirin, and they may move out of your homes and settle in their own homes. And having heard this, two of the great leaders of the Ansar, Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ubadah and Sayyidina Sa'd bin Mu'az, stood and said, O Nabi of Allah, we have the view that the entire wealth be distributed amongst the Muhajireen, and in addition they may continue to reside in our homes as usual. Subhanallah. At this, all the Ansar unanimously said, we concur with this decision and are happy with it. And on that occasion, Nabi Salsam made special dua for the Ansar, their children. Nabi Salsam then distributed the wealth amongst the Muhajireen. Only two Ansar received a grant from this wealth because they were poor. Do you know who are they? Sahal ibn Hunayf and Abu Dujana, radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. Sayyidina Sa'd bin Mu'adha was given a sword which was a distinguished sword of Ibn Abil Huqayk. So that is what was being referred to, that وَلَا يَجِلُونَ فِي سُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They did not feel in their hearts any need for what is given to the Muhajirin, the Ansar or such. The word need means any item of need. Whatever the Muhajirin were granted in this distribution, the Ansar happily accepted it as if they had no need for any of those items. It was inconceivable that they complained about it enviously. Then, time goes on, Bahrain is conquered. The same spirit of self-sacrifice was not displayed by the Ansar again. Nabi Salsam also expressed his intention to distribute the entire conquered lands of the territories amongst the Ansar, but they courteously refused to accept it and said, no, give it equal between us and the Muhajirin. Give it equal between us and the Muhajirin, subhanAllah. This was the Ansar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues by speaking of the fourth quality of them and saying, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِمْخَصَاصَ. So they gave preference to the Muhajirin over themselves, even though they were in poverty. Khasasa means poverty. يُؤْثِرُونَ إِثَار means to give preference, to prefer the wish and the need and the desire of others over oneself. And the meaning of this verse is that the Ansar used to prefer the needs of the Muhajirin to their own needs. That is, the Muhajirin's needs get fulfilled whether ours get fulfilled or not. Subhanallah. There are many incidents that any one of us will be able to recollect at any moment when we think about this. It is recorded in the various books. First and foremost, Tirmidhi, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, says that one night a guest came to an Ansari's home. The Ansari had only as much food as he needed for his children to eat, and he said to his wife, put the children off to sleep somehow, put out the lamp, and then place the food in front of the guest. Sit next to him so that he may be under the impression that we are eating, but we will not eat so that the guest may be to eat comfortably. At this, this very verse was revealed. And now there's another narration which speaks of the same incident, which with a variation. It says that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that a person came to Nabi Salsam and said, I'm hungry and distressed. And Nabi Salsam sent a message to one of his blessed hosts, but she replied, we do not have anything except water. Then he sent to another wife, and she said the same. Then a third, and she said the same. A fourth, until he sent to all the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and they all replied that they had nothing besides water. Then he addressed the congregation, and he asked them, that is there anyone who is willing to entertain the guest for the night? And then Ansari said, O Nabi of Allah, I will entertain him. So he took him home and asked his wife whether there was anything to eat, and she replied, only as much as our children could eat. And then he asked his wife to put the children to sleep, and then he said, place the food in front of the guests, sit, and then get up and put out the lamp. The guests should not feel that we are not eating. And the guests ate the food, and in the morning, this companion went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed him that Allah was very pleased with the way he handled the situation the previous night. Subhanallah. A similar incident has been narrated of Sayyidina Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu, was an honorable sahabi who entertained his guests one night by putting the light off. This is a common statement appended, you know, amongst the Ansar. Now, that's one incident. And then there's another famous one. Qushayri has narrated the story on the authority of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, who reports that a person sent the head of a goat as a gift to an honorable personality from amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and he thought that about a Muslim brother, that he and his family are more in need of this, and he sent it to him. So the first one sent it to the second, and when this companion received it, he sent it to a third, sent it to a fourth, and in this way it circulated seven homes. The goat's head was moved from one house to the other. Eventually, it returned to the first person, and on this occasion, this verse was revealed. It's also been recorded in Muwatta Imam Malik, rahimahumullah, on the authority of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, that a person wanted something to eat and she had only one bread. And she was fasting that day and she asked her maid to give him the bread. And the maid said that if it was given away, there would be nothing left for her to break her fast in the evening. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha assisted and gave the bread to the poor person. The maid said, it so happened that a person who was not accustomed to send any gift sent a whole roasted goat, which was completely covered with the batter on the outside, which is thought to be the best Arab dish. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha called the maid and said, come eat. This is better than the bread of yours. This is better than the bread of yours. Nasai, rahimahumullah, is recorded that once Sayyidah Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu felt sick and felt like eating grapes. A bunch of grapes is brought for him for a dirham, and coincidentally a poor person came begging. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu said that a bunch be given to him. One of the companions who followed him and bought off that bunch from the beggar and gave it back to Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, but the beggar came again and begged, and Sayyidina Ibn Umar gave it to him again. Again, someone went behind the beggar secretly and bought off the bunch from him for a dirham and gave it to him. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, the beggar wanted to turn up the third time and beg, but the people stopped. If Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu knew about that it was being purchased, he would never have consumed it, and he thought maybe it's coming every time from the market, a new bunch. But this was the degree of giving preference to others over themselves. Sayyidina Ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, reports on the authority that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent, and listen to this incident. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent 4,000 dinars in a money bag to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu with his servant. For the message of the money was being sent as a gift. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu said to the servant, they're telling me that you should use it as he deemed fit. The servant was then instructed to remain for a while in the house to see what does Abu Ubaidah do with the money. The servant accordingly gave the money to him and waited for a while. And then Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah took the bag of money and supplicated for Sayyidina Umar that Allah reward him and shower his mercy upon him. Instantly he called his slave girl, instructed her to give 7 dinars dinars to so-and-so, and 5 to so-and-so, until 4,000 were distributed. Then and then, the servant came back and narrated the story and said, Umar radiallahu anhu filled another bag with 4,000 dinars and sent it with the servant to Muaz bin Jabal with the same message that he had given to the other companion. The servant followed the instructions. Said Muaz radiallahu anhu took the bag of money, supplicated to Allah for Umar, thus rahimahullah wa wasalahu, may Allah shower his mercy upon him and reward him. He then too immediately sat down and distributed the money. He divided the money into portions and sent them to different houses. His wife was watching all what was happening and she could not hold herself. Eventually spoke and said, by Allah, we too are poor and we should also receive something. At that time only 2 dinars had remained in the bag, and he gave it to her. The servant saw all of this, returned to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, reported, and Umar radiallahu anhu made dua and said, they are all brothers. They are all from the same disposition. They are all brothers. They have the same qualities. Sayyidina Huzaifa Adawi, rahimahumullah, narrates that during the battle of Yarmouk, he says, in fact it was the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he says, I went out in search of my paternal uncle's son amongst the martyrs and took with me some water just in case there was the last breath left in him. So I would give him a sip of water, and when I reached him, there was the last spark of life left in him. I asked him whether he would like a sip of water, and yes, he nodded. Just as I was about to pour the water into his mouth, another martyr next to him heaved a sigh, and my cousin indicated, give it to him. When I reached him, I was about to give it to him, I heard a voice of a third martyr, and the second martyr indicated, give it to him. And this series of events continued up to 7 martyrs, and Sayyidina Huzaifa al-Adawi says that when I reached the 7th martyr to give him water, he'd already taken his last breath. And from there I went to my cousin. He'd also passed on. So this was the spirit that the Sahaba possessed. I've shared with you a few incidents, some of which was related to the Ansar, others to the Muhajireen. There are numerous incidents in this regard. It is said that under the commentary of this verse, that all these incidents may have occurred, and there's no contradiction in the narrations. We know that it's a well-known habit of the narrators that if a verse was revealed under certain circumstances and a similar incident took place on another occasion, they mention the second incident as a cause of revelation of that verse as well. So these are the reasons behind the revelation of this verse. Now, what is important is that no social activity or self-sacrifice is possible unilaterally. It has to be bilaterally. Therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has urged the Muslims to exchange gifts with each other and thus enhance their mutual love. You can't just keep giving, giving, giving. And you know, at some point you're going to get tired of giving. So likewise, if a Muslim has given a gift to another, he should repay the gift. He should use the wealth to reciprocate. Otherwise, supplication should be enough to reciprocate. It is not in keeping with the principles or ethics of good manners to owe a debt of gratitude to people. So the Ansar, they displayed their generosity, their magnanimity. The Muhajireen, the partnership was there, made them partners in their home, shops, businesses, their land. When Allah gave the Muhajireen affluence, they did not fall short in doing a good turn in return of the favors. Imam Qurtubi, rahimahumullah, has a narration of two in his from the two Sahihain, in which he says, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that when the Muhajirin arrived in Medina from Mecca, they were absolutely empty-handed. The Ansar, on the other hand, had properties and land, and they shared half and half of their holdings with the Muhajirin. The Ansar gave half of the fruit to the Muhajireen. When Ummi Sulaim, the mother of Sayyidina Anas, gave a few of her palm trees to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he granted to Usama bin Zaid, the mother Ummi Ayman radiallahu anha. Imam Zuhri says that Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik reported that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned successfully from the expedition of Khaybar to Medina, the Muhajirin, all of them calculated all the gifts of the Ansar and returned them to the Ansar. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took back the trees that were granted to Ummi Ayman and returned them to Ummi Sulaim and granted trees to Ummi Ayman from his orchard. And I think this is a very, very important thing to reciprocate. Because humanly we cannot just continue to take and take and don't give. We need to give. Also, and therefore Allah then ends of the verse by saying, وَمَا يُشْقَى شُحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحِينَ. Whoever is saved from the greed of his soul, then such a person is undoubtedly successful. Then such a person is successful. So after mentioning the Ansar, selflessness and self-sacrifice, a general law or universal principle is laid down, that, and this is, Shuh is greed and bukhul is, shuh is avarice, that desire, and bukhul is greed and maliciousness, and both are almost synonyms. The word shuh, however, yields a sense of intense greed for money and possession. Shuh and bukhul are absolutely forbidden when a person fails to fulfill his obligatory duties, which are the divine rights, such as zakat, sadaqatul fitr, ushr, all of these things. Now, these qualities, one needs to save oneself from these qualities. And it's only when you save yourself from these qualities that one will then attain the true purification and cleanliness of the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us clean hearts and save us from the qualities that are evil and bad. These are the verses that we need to reflect on and we need to implement in our lives. May Allah give us the ability.